It's kind of too obvious to even say that our lives will be shaped by our parents and our own children, but when I watched Asma Khan's episode on the show Chef's Table, I was literally crying at her stories of both her family and the family she's made at her London restaurant, Darjeeling Express. You should really watch it. I highly recommend it. And we're delighted to have her with us today. Welcome, Chef.
Thank you very much.
Asma, so there is an intense moment in your story. You've said that your mother cried when you were born. Why is that?
Because it is part of this whole cultural divide in my society. In South Asia, the preferred sex of a child is always the male. The male is seen as the true heir. And girls are seen as a burden. It's not just the burden of getting them married, but protecting their integrity, you know, making sure that no one gossips about them. There's such a huge onus about honor and how girls are linked to the family honor, that it is the biggest liability possible in families when you have more than one girl. Because not only do you need to marry, get two girls married off, it also means there is that fear that you may not have an heir to your family, which is doom and gloom. I mean, it's actually got massive economic connotations in some families if you don't have a boy. Because actually, inheritance law means that the girls don't inherit property. It will go to a cousin of the girls, a male cousin. So it's quite serious when a family doesn't have a boy. And I think that when a second girl arrives, it is devastating for the family, because that hope that they all had that, okay, first one being a girl, fine, we'll live with it. The second one being a girl is devastating. It's also the fact that no family wants a lot of girls because very expensive to get married off. But then the other thing is everyone needs that boy to carry the family name. The family honor is linked to, you know, what the boy does. And family assets pass on just to the boy. The girls get a minimal amount.
Yeah. And so when you were growing up, how did you react to that situation? Were you aware of that?
I wasn't aware of the entire, gamut of problems that come with being a female in my society. I just knew that everybody was extremely upset when I was born, and my mother grieved. It bothered me a lot. It bothered me a lot because I felt unwanted and maybe not respected. And what I tried to do was to pretend that I loved everybody a lot. Some of my aunts I knew would always mock, you know, me being a girl, tease me that no one would marry me, tell me that I was dark-skinned. So I was very made to feel sometimes that maybe, you know, I am this huge liability the family is stuck with. But I refused to allow this to break me. I used to visualize myself like a bamboo that, you know, used to grow in my backyard, that when the wind blew, the bamboo bent, but it never broke. I was not going to break because people had their biases. And I convinced myself that one day I was going to become someone very exceptional, someone brilliant. I used to close my eyes and visualize my name in lights, you know, like you see in Hollywood. So in Broadway, you know, I would imagine my entire name in lights. It's very hard if you're not from this particular culture to understand how deep-rooted the bias is. You know, people pass comments when they see girls that, you have girls. It's like watering the neighbor's plants, implying that all the resources you're putting into the girl, somebody else is going to benefit. It's a very strange culture where, you know, women are worshipped as goddesses, but our birth is lamented. It's hard to understand, you know, when we give life, our life is not celebrated.
Right. You mentioned earlier you would sometimes picture your name in lights and you'd want to become someone exceptional. And clearly you have now as a chef. But before you became a chef, you had to learn to cook. And so you went actually back to your mother's home, right? Yes. Did she teach you how to cook?
Yes, my mother taught me how to cook. My mother's a great cook. And, you know, in her whole family, she's the best cook, better than my grandmother. And she understood I was in pain. I was really unhappy. I was finding it incredibly difficult. And I eventually told
her. You were an adult then?
That, you know, yes, I was an adult. And, you know, I hadn't learned how to cook because the presumption is, you know, I come from a family where we get married within your own family because you need to marry royalty. So I just presumed I would get married into a palace and have lots of servants cooking for me. So I wasn't going to waste my time learning how to cook. I just like to eat. So I had learned how to cook. The fact that I had an arranged marriage with my husband, who was an academic teaching at Cambridge University, and between us meeting for the first time and me leaving for Cambridge was 3 months. I spent the entire 3 months eating and getting all my clothes ready for my wedding. I didn't bother. I didn't even, at that time, it didn't even occur to me that I'm going to this place where I may have to cook. I don't know. I didn't plan for my life in the West. I just got very excited. I'm getting married. I was so happy. All the people told me I'd never get married. I was like, yay, I finally, someone has agreed to marry me. I'm getting married. And yeah, so I just was so excited. I kind of missed the bit where I should have figured out that I don't know how to cook.
And what was that like going back to your mother's house as an adult to learn to cook?
It was actually very emotional. I felt that she was trying to embrace me again, to kind of raise me again. I felt she was literally like handing over to me everything that she knew, almost like a sacred gift to me, the recipes. And I was very aware, acutely aware, that she was doing this because she was trying to make amends for everything. She wanted to see if I could take this somewhere else, because she herself had a food business, and her dream was always to open a restaurant. This is something I've never said anywhere else. When my mother and I would talk, she would always say, my dream was to open a restaurant. But I did. I did. Wow. I opened the restaurant she always dreamt of. And it's so
amazing.
Yeah, that when the first time she walked into Darjeeling Express, she told me, yeah, finally, I have a restaurant too. I said, yeah, because every dish in there is your recipe. It was so sweet. It was very emotional. You know, I felt overwhelmed watching her walk into Darjeeling Express.
So then you befriended this group of South Asian women who are not all Indian, but all from South Asia. And you decided you wanted to cook together. Tell me about that.
Yes, because the first time I met the first woman in that group was a nanny in the school where my kids went, where most of the families there are European. And I saw the children she was looking after were European. And I realized that, you know, on Sundays she has nowhere to go. So I realized, my God, I was like this. I was lost and empty. I had no friends. And I could see in her eyes myself. I could see myself, you know, the Cambridge days of complete isolation. And I invited her to my house. But once that happened and they started coming to my home, you know, she brought her friend and her friend then got another friend. And so we became this big group of mainly nannies and the cleaners from the hospital were very close to the school, who, again, all of them didn't work on Sundays, but they had nowhere to go. So they hung around in my house. And when I started doing supper clubs, they offered to cook with me. They didn't know any of the dishes, but they were very good at prep. They washed up. The worst thing about cooking is washing up. And they were doing this because for them, this was a way to eat a lot of leftovers. There were, you know, I mean, I'm a paranoid Indian chef. I cook like double of what I need. So there used to be so much leftover. So they used to literally feast all night and watch Indian cable TV in my kitchen. So it was like this kind of big binge party. So it's so important because this is a relationship. You know, India is a class and caste-ridden society. These are women, people who you would not sit on the same table and eat with these people because of the divisions that we have in our society. But we are united by the emptiness of being immigrants in a foreign land, and we're united by our love for food. And also the fact that we know that actually we're all the same. All these superficial differences of class, you know, education, caste, are so irrelevant when we all hurt the same way and we all want the same things.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. And now you have kids. Have you taught them to cook?
My younger one likes pasta and he likes chicken nuggets. I've completely failed as a mother with my younger one.
Oh, no.
Yes. It's my great disgrace. And I had publicly humiliated in his school because the first complete sentence my son wrote, my mama is a yucky cook, full stop.
Oh, God.
And the school had called me. I thought my son had gone and got into a fight. And there was this entire staff there holding up this piece of paper. Oh my God, I could have died. He wrote that. My mama is a yucky cook. That child is going to just embarrass me my whole life. My older one actually loves food. And I'm absolutely sure he is going to be a better cook than me. He has an amazing palate. If he hasn't watched us cook, he eats dishes that my mother has made and I have made, and he identifies correctly what my mother made. And I know my food is so close to what Ammu makes, but he can tell me, you didn't make this, your mother made this. And I'll watch him sometimes, you know, when he sits around the kitchen, you know, watching me cook. And I see his eyes and I think, you know, he is just absorbing all this in. And one day this boy is just going to take off. And he's much loved by all the team in my kitchen, who all call him an Indian word, which is Chota Malik, which means the young owner. So yes, he might be the future of Darjeeling Express.
Yeah. How old are your children?
My older son is 19 and my younger one is 14.
Life is complicated, huh? Parenting is definitely complicated.
Yeah, parenting is complicated. And anyone who thinks that this is like, you know, people ask me, you know, is it hard to run a business? I said, no, it's hard having two teenage boys and a husband who absolutely will. My husband calls me 11 o'clock at night. I said, what's for dinner? In like peak service time. I think, has he forgotten I'm running a restaurant? Yeah, so everything is going really well with my business. I'm trying to grapple with dealing with children and my home life.
I think we all feel that way. Thank you so much, Jeff.
You're very welcome.
Asma Khan's new book is Asma's Indian Kitchen, and she left us with a recipe for keema sua pulao, spiced ground meat with dill rice, and it's one of her picky son's favorite dishes. You can find it at splendidtable.org.